Good morning, everybody. How are you doing today? I hope all is going well and that you are having a great weekend, a wonderful Sunday. I appreciate you joining me this morning for Sunday Morning with Love in Action. For those of you who are familiar with Love in Action, you know that we do a lot of work with the homeless, and we have for the past 20 years, and it's been an awesome blessing to do so. Homelessness and the homeless are really misunderstood by a lot of people. You get a lot of stereotypical responses or stereotypical looks at the homeless. But today I want to talk about what does the Bible say about homelessness, about the poor. And we're going to dive into that today. We're going to have a lot of scripture to look at because as with any subject, it's always important to know what the Word of God says. So that's what we're going to look at today. And before we get started, let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Dear Father God, we come to you in the name of Jesus and we just thank you. Thank you for loving us. Father, we know it doesn't matter what stage of life we're in. It doesn't matter if we're homeless or the richest person in the world. You love us all and you want all of us to come into your family through your Son, Jesus Christ, to live with you forever. Father, we thank you that you call us to take care of those who are hurting, those who are poor, those who are suffering. And Lord, it's an awesome call that you put on all of our lives. And I pray today that as we look at your word, God, that you will just reveal your truth to us, that you will challenge us. God, those who are listening, who are, some are homeless, some are just really struggling. God, let this encourage each one to know that you love them. God, you have not forgotten any of us and that you love us all the same. We thank you for your Son, Jesus. We thank you for the salvation that you give us, Lord. And we know that you are the way, the truth, and the life, and the only way to the Father. So I pray if anyone is listening today and they have not given their lives to you, received your forgiveness, I pray today, Lord, will be the day that they do. Again, Father, we thank you. We love you and we praise you. And it's in your holy name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. It's important to understand the homeless situation where you live at. Love in Action is in Dothan, Alabama, so that's what we focus on. But, you know, God has given us many opportunities over the past 20 years to connect with other ministries who reach out, love on, help the homeless in cities like Atlanta, Georgia, where actually God put the vision, put the desire for this ministry in my heart. So we've done a lot of ministry there. Lord has allowed us to go to New York City, to New Orleans, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, Memphis, Tennessee, Los Angeles, California. So many places that God has opened the door for us to minister to. And it's been awesome to do that. What an awesome privilege to do that. Now here in Dothan, we do have a good number of homeless people here in Dothan. Some folks will say, well, man, I just don't see them. Well, that's because we're not in a large city like Atlanta where you can have a large crowd of homeless gathered together, and it's easier to see. Here, the homeless, a lot of times they blend in. Our friend David Duke at Wiregrass 211 sent out an email last week. It was stats about homelessness in the Wiregrass. Because if you're not familiar with Wiregrass 211, it is a wonderful resource. If you ever wonder where you can go to get help for different things, maybe it's food from a food pantry, maybe it's help with rent or with utilities or whatever, call 211. Or if you know somebody who needs help, have them call 211. You just dial 211 and it takes you to the Dothan call. Well, you follow the prompt and it takes you to the Dothan call center. And they have a large database with information about who does what. And David and his staff there keep statistics of all their calls. And with their fiscal year goes through this month. And going into this month, the numbers of homelessness in the Wiregrass in seven counties in our area have gone up with still 1 month left to go. They received calls from 854 homeless people last year. And this year, with 1 month left to go, that totals at 915. And it's not just men. There's more women who are homeless than men now. That was a trend that we saw for years in other cities and larger cities, but it's now here in the Wiregrass. There's 342 homeless women who have called 211. for help. 254 men, 157 women with children, 162 families. So the numbers are large, and that's for the Wiregrass area. Of course, the larger numbers are coming from Dothan. Last year, it was over 600 homeless in Dothan. And there's so many reasons for homelessness. When Hurricane Michael hit Florida and Georgia, that increased homelessness here in Dothan because people, there was nowhere to go to in Panama City or throughout Georgia where they got hit. And so they came to Dothan, people did, and some of them ended up homeless when money ran out. This year, the coronavirus, a lot of people have lost jobs right here in Dothan, and they've ended up homeless. So there's many reasons for that. And as we have learned over the years, really the number one reason for homelessness is the catastrophic loss of family. So many of our homeless friends, they just don't have family. If for whatever reason, there's a lot of reasons for that too. They just don't have family, and life starts to fall apart on them, and they don't have anybody to help them in any way. And that's one thing we try to do at Love in Action is create a family atmosphere where people know that they're loved. And then we can just love on them and help them in different areas to begin to come out of homelessness. And it's not an easy thing. It's not just, you know, you can hear the stereotypical response to people who just don't know anything about homelessness to say, well, they just need to get a job. You know, I wish it was that easy. Now, getting a job is part of the process, but that's not the answer there. That's not the whole answer, I should say. But there's many reasons for homelessness, and the main thing we need to look at is, what does God tell us? How should we respond to those who are homeless? Now, Love in Action, we've been doing it for 20 years, and let me tell you, we have met so many awesome people who have been on the streets that if we were not reaching out to them, we never would have met. And my life is so much better for having met so many people who were on the streets. And we can talk about story after story of people who have come off the streets. And it's just awesome to see God touching lives, saving souls, transforming lives. Because the people who come off the street and successfully stay off the streets have been the ones who gave their lives to Jesus and decided they were going to live for Him. And they've been able to do that and to come off the streets. One of my favorite verses about helping others is 1 John chapter 3, verse 17. But if anyone has the world's goods and see his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? If we have the means to help people, then we need to help them. Because God's love, if it's inside of us, compels us to help others. And that verse clearly points that out. I love what James says. James, the half-brother of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In James chapter 2, starting in verse 15, he writes, if a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace and be warm and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. So James is saying, look, if you have means to help people, don't just say, God bless you and have a good day and I'll pray for you. Well, we always need to be praying for one another, but if somebody's hungry and we have food that we can give and help them, then the Lord is telling us through James right here, help them. If they need clothes and we have means to help them, help them. That's been a wonderful thing at Love in Action. We have a food pantry. So families need food. We can help them with food. The homeless, we are able to cook for them and provide them with a good hot meal. We're able to provide clothes for them. So, you know, they have clothes to wear. And as winter comes up, we're able to give them blankets and coats to help them along. And it's just being biblical, what God tells us to do. Jesus, now he knew something about homelessness. And that's an awesome thing when we're praying with our homeless friends. I always explain to them, we're going to Jesus in prayer. And what's awesome about that is that he knows exactly where you're at. He's been in your situation of being homeless. Because the Word of God tells us in Matthew chapter 8, verse 20, as well as Luke chapter 9, verse 58, Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." During Jesus' public ministry, he went from town to town preaching the gospel. So there were times where he did have places to live. He was a welcome guest in people's homes. But there were also times when he and his disciples would have to camp out. And I love the portrayal in the TV series Chosen, which if you haven't watched it, I highly recommend it. The first season was great. You can watch it on the Chosen app or pull it up on YouTube. But it showed Jesus and the disciples camping out in one scene. Jesus understands what it's like not to have a place to lay his head. And also spiritually speaking, this earth wasn't a place for Jesus to rest his head. His home, like our home, is in heaven. And that's where we'll get our eternal rest one day. But Jesus understands homelessness. And so when we pray with our friends about their homeless situation, it's comforting to our friends to know that we're praying to a God who truly understands. It's not like God says, "Well, I don't know what this is like." He does, because he's been there. Jesus responded to those who were poor, and I'm sure those who were homeless, by preaching the gospel to them. Jesus was constantly preaching to the poor, helping the poor, healing them, delivering them, setting them free, and letting them know about the gospel, letting them know about the kingdom of God and how they can receive eternal life. You know, there's a number of scriptures on that. Matthew 11, verse 5. "The blind receive their sight and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear. And the dead are raised up and the poor have good news preached to them." Jesus was telling John the Baptist's disciples, when they ask him, "Are you the Christ?" He says, "Well, go tell John this." Then in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, Jesus is saying, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has appointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed." Jesus fulfilled Isaiah 58. And he's saying, "I'm proclaiming the good news to the poor. I'm setting people free. The blind are being healed and setting at liberty those who are oppressed." Jesus says in Luke chapter 6, verse 20, "And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, 'Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God.'" Now, he's not saying, you know, all poor people are going to heaven. He's not saying that. But what he is saying is that, because it says here, he looked at upon his disciples, those who were following him, in addition to the 12. And he said, "The kingdom of God is yours." Why did he say that? Just because they were poor? No. He said that because they left everything to follow him. Therefore, the world was looking at them and looks at you and me, who sacrifice things, who give up different ways of life so we can follow the Lord. The world will pity us and say, "Oh man, they're just poor folks." And, you know, in the South, they would say, "Bless their hearts." Jesus is saying, "Look, you left everything to follow me. Therefore, the kingdom of God is yours. You're going to live eternally with me because you're being obedient and following me." Because that's what Jesus tells us to do, right? He says to follow him. Time after time in the Gospels, Jesus says, "Follow me." And so that's what we're to do. And as we read how Jesus lived and his teachings, then we can't help but realize we need to reach out to those who are suffering, those who are homeless, those who are poor. We need to reach out to them. Now, there's people who are in different situations who have finances, but they're still hurting. So, yes, we're to reach them as well. But today, we're focusing on reaching out to the homeless and reaching out to those who live in poverty and seeing what Jesus is telling us to do. And he's telling us to preach the gospel to them, to help provide food, clothing for them. As Jesus was telling his disciples that the kingdom of heaven is yours because you gave up everything to follow me. Look what Jesus did for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. Now God is speaking to us through the Apostle Paul there, and what he's saying is, Jesus was in heaven. That's as rich as you can ever get. Jesus is right there, God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity. But Jesus came here to earth and became one of us, became a person, became a human, God in the flesh. So he gave up all that glory in heaven to come here to earth and to live as one of us. That's where Jesus became poor. But he did that so you and I and all opportunities for people, everybody around this world to believe in him. And if we do, then we're going to leave this earth one day and we're going to go to heaven. And that's why he says that we might become rich. We're going to be in heaven, basking in the glory of God, walking on streets of gold. We're not going to want for a thing because we're going to have everything. We're going to be right there with the Father and seeing Jesus face to face. It just doesn't get any better than that. It doesn't get any richer than that. You can take all the money that Jeff Bezos has, you know, the owner of Amazon, who's the richest man in the world. You can take all that money, but it still doesn't compare to the richest in heaven. So as we follow Jesus here on earth, we're going to have to give up some things, right? I know my life has changed since I surrendered my life to Jesus and started to follow him. There's things that I stopped doing. There's ways of life that I stopped living to follow him. But it is so worth it. So worth it. But too many times people look at Christianity as, well, it's just a bunch of stuff that you can't do anymore. Well, that's not what it's about at all. Actually, the things that I gave up were things that were going to destroy me, spiritually as well as physically. And so the way Jesus wants me to live, first of all, it's great for me spiritually because I'm gonna be with him forever. And he gives me life right here on earth as well, but eternal life awaits for me. But also physically, it's better for me too because I'm not doing things that I was doing that was destroying my body. So Christianity isn't about just thou shalt nots. You know, thou shalt not do this, that, and the other. No, it's about living for Jesus. And it is the greatest life ever. I can speak from experience because I lived for the world. As Paul says, he says, I'm a sinner and a chief of sinners. Well, I was a very good sinner. And then by the grace of God, Jesus Christ saved me and forgave me of those sins, of all that disobedience. And he has given me life and true life. And that's what he wants to give all of us. And if we just follow him, surrender our lives to him, ask him to forgive us for our sins, and just give our lives to him. And the word of God in Romans 10:9 says, if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. So we confess. We confess, Jesus, you are our Savior. You are our Lord. And then we believe with our hearts. And it's not just believing in our minds. There's a lot of folks who have heard of Jesus and may even say, sure, he's the Son of God, but the belief isn't there. The faith isn't there because even the demons recognize Jesus as the Son of God. But that's like having head knowledge that don't save you. You got to have heart knowledge. The scriptures tell us so. And with the mouth, one confesses and is saved. With the heart, one believes and is justified. So believe in Christ. Have faith in him. Confess him as your Lord and Savior. And then follow him. You're not going to be perfect. I'm not perfect. But we're following a perfect Savior. And he's going to do things in our lives that's going to just blow our minds. And he's going to forgive us. And he's going to set us free from the bondage, the slavery to sin. And we're going to be in a life that sure is going to have a lot of struggles, especially this year. For example, people are struggling. Doesn't matter if they're Christian or not Christian. It's been a tough year. What gets us through it is Jesus. When Martha and I had Corona back in July, Jesus took care of us and he got us through that. Now we're back in good health, have our strength back. So, you know, it doesn't mean it's going to be a cakewalk from here on out once you give your life to Jesus. You know, Jesus actually says it's going to be tough because the world's going to be against us. We have an enemy called Satan. He's going to be against us. But Jesus has already given us the victory, so we just got to walk in that victory. And everything that comes our way through him, we can get through it. But Jesus, he became poor, so by his poverty we might become rich. And God tells us throughout Scripture that if we take care of the homeless, of the poor, we'll have some eternal blessings. And they're awesome. And he also warns us about not taking care of those in need. So let's look at a few verses there. Love and Action was based on, from the beginning, and still is, based on Matthew chapter 25, verses 35 through 40. And we're going to read, verses 31 through 40 here out of Matthew chapter 25. And this is Jesus speaking. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you sick and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. Jesus says, as we help others, somebody's hungry and we give them something to eat. Somebody's thirsty and we give them a cold bottle of water. Or they need clothes and we help them. We visit the sick and those in prison. He tells us that as we do that, we're doing that unto him. And that's an awesome thing to remember. We're doing it unto him. And he tells us that there's a great blessing in that. God tells us in the Old Testament, Proverbs chapter 19, verse 17, whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deed. Too many times, especially here in the U.S., every time we give, we have this mentality, well, they better pay us back. Well, the Bible is countercultural in that and in so many things. God tells us to give to others, not expecting anything in return. Why would he tell us that? Well, because he wants us to be a given people and do it joyfully. But also, he's going to take care of us. As we give, he's going to bless us. Now, we don't give just so we can get a blessing. Don't let that be your motivation. Let your motivation be the love of Christ that is in you for others. And that's the only way, really, we can do that, is having Christ in us, having his love in us, and loving other people with that. So as we help others, we're doing it because we're compelled by the love of Jesus Christ. And when we do, God's going to bless us. God's going to take care of us. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 27, whoever gives to the poor will not want. Did you hear that? He who gives to the poor will not want. And that is true. That is so true. Before Martha and I went into the ministry full time, I had a great job as an editor, as a regional editor and making good money. And Martha had a job in the medical field. And when you combined our salaries, we were doing very well. We still didn't want for anything, but we still gave to the poor. And we didn't want for a thing. But then when we gave up those jobs, we gave up those salaries to go into the ministry to follow the calling of God in our lives. We definitely didn't do it for money, that's for sure. When you're a pastor of the homeless, you're not making much. But you know what? God has taken care of us every step of the way, and we haven't wanted for a thing. As we give to the poor, we don't want for a thing. And actually, we're even happier now. And we were happy then, but we're even happier now when we have much, much less as far as finances goes and things go. We're just so much happier because we're not living for things of this world. We're living for Jesus. We're living for the glories that's going to, God's going to bless us in heaven. But we're living for Jesus mainly and trying to live how he wants us to. We're not perfect. Not trying to paint that picture for you, but we're striving to live for him. And when we do, we don't want, because he takes care of us in so many ways, not just finances, but in so many ways. God is true to his word. When you read it, you can know that it's fact. That's the truth. And he keeps his promises always. You know, God also tells us that if we don't follow him and do what he tells us to do, that there's curses involved. In that same chapter, Proverbs 28, verse 27, the second half of that says, but he who hides his eyes will get many a curse. You know, if you just try to block out the poverty that's around you and say, well, you know, I'm going to put these blinders on, I'm not going to help anybody, I'm going to get home and everything's going to be okay. We're not to live that way. God tells us over and over again, if we do what he tells us to, he's going to bless us. If we don't, it's not going to be good. And let me end with this. In Matthew 25, remember I read about Jesus saying that he was hungry and we fed him and thirsty and we gave him something to drink. Well, at the end of that chapter, verses 41 through 46, Jesus tells us what happens if we don't obey him. Starting in verse 41. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they will also answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, truly, I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. There's blessings in helping the homeless and helping the poor. Again, we don't earn salvation, and we cannot earn salvation through good works. But as we give our lives to Jesus, he forgives us, he saves us, he fills us with the Spirit, with his love is deep in our hearts, and that love compels us to go out and to help others. And when we do, oh, it's such a blessing, and it's such a joy to do. We are out of time. We will continue on this same subject next week, so I hope you will join me again next week at 10:30 here on the Joy FM. And until then, I hope you have a great week coming up, and may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.